We come to the last message in our study in the book of 1 Peter, and some of you are saying, thank the Lord. The pastor is finally going to move on to something else. But as I've told you repeatedly, the theme of this letter that Peter wrote to some stranded, some scattered believers in a part of the world that was vastly overrun by paganism, he is writing to these believers and saying to them over and over, he's saying, stand firm, stand fast in the true grace of God. Well, this morning, the last two verses we're going to look at teach us how we can do that. How can we stand firm and stand fast? And so I want us to read verses 10 and 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, these verses ought to provide for us a great sense of encouragement and assurance. Because, you know, oftentimes our lives feel like an episode of the TV series Amazing Race. If you've watched that television series Amazing Race, you know that the contestants who are involved in this reality show are heading towards some destination around the world. But in order for them to get to this destination, they have to go through a series of challenges and obstacles. And one by one, they are weeded out as they are disqualified, as they fail to meet the challenge or the obstacle. And they don't make it to the final destination, and they don't get the cash reward that goes with it. And I realize that that is far too close to reality for most of us, because our lives seem like an amazing rat race, if you will. That there's so much swirling around, so many challenges and obstacles in life, and we're constantly falling and failing. And we're wondering if in the midst of all of this mess, there is a God who is somewhere in the picture, and this God who is in the picture hopefully will get me to the destination, to my eternal destination, that I'm going to the right place when I die, and that I will have the strength to get there. And so we need this word of encouragement. These verses come to us today as a signal from heaven that everything around you may be a mess, but there is a God who is in heaven, who is presiding over all of the affairs of our lives. He has a marvelous plan and a glorious destination in store for every one of us who are in Christ. Now, today I want to help you to memorize these two verses that we've just read. Hopefully, they will lodge in your mind and lodge in your heart so that they will provide for you strength and assurance and encouragement in the days to come. And so in the next few moments, we're just going to memorize these verses and think about what they mean. And so as we come back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, I want you to just look at that first phrase in verse 10. And the God of all grace. God is the God of all grace. He is rich in grace. You know, last week we talked about this amazing grace that belongs to and is a character quality of God. And we recited together, remember, we recited together that great hymn of the faith, Amazing Grace, that was written by a man named John Newton, who was a vile man, a vile slave trader, who was transformed into a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the grace of God. And later in his life, John Newton wrote these words. He says, every age seems to have people who have made a habit of evil, who have had to look up to see the bottom. And in the day of God's power, they are saved and transformed. They become an example to other believers, giving them an opportunity to praise God for His remarkable grace. Now, why is it so important for us to know that God is the God of all grace? Well, the reason it's important is because you need to know that all of your sin is covered by all of God's grace. All of it. You need to know that all of your deficiencies and your shortcomings are covered by all of God's grace. Do you realize today that you can never sin your way beyond the grace of God? You cannot out-sin the grace of God. Do you realize that you can never go through any trial or adversity that will take you so deep, but that God's grace is deeper still? That's why it's important for you and I to know today that God is the God of all grace. 1 Peter 5:5 says that God gives grace to the humble. And so access to this grace is gained by doing the only appropriate thing, and that is to admit my total lack of sufficiency in every way and humbling myself. I then can receive the gift of God's grace. And so let's just review that first phrase together, all right? Let's say it together. And the God of all grace. Say that. And the God of all grace. You're doing great. You're on your way. Now, let's go on to the next phrase. Verse 10 says, and the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. Now, Peter has had glory on his mind all the way through this letter that he has written to these believers far away and long ago. For instance, in 1 Peter 4 and verse 13, he says, rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. There's going to be a day when His glory is revealed. But we get to share in that glory because 1 Peter 5 and verse 4 says that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so we get to share in that glory. And that's what Peter is talking about back in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10 when he says, and the God of all grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ. Now I want you to just look at that phrase. He called you to His eternal glory. Now just think carefully about this for a moment. When you were saved, God forgave you of all your sin. But He had much more in mind for you. When you were saved, God deposited in you His Holy Spirit. And yet He has even more than that in mind for you. And when you were saved, you were made a new creation, and you were filled with a life of great purpose and peace. But He still had even more in mind for you than that. You see, when He saved you, He called you to something far beyond this here and now. He called you to just more than just getting through today or getting through this week or making it through this next trial or this next round of adversity. God has called you to His eternal glory. Do you see the difference? He has in mind for you a day when you will stand before Him complete there in the presence of the glory of God and you yourself glorified in His presence. God sees beyond the immediate things that salvation does for us, and he calls us not just to see our sins forgiven, not just to have victory in this life, but he calls us to his eternal glory. You see, the glory of God is the outshining of all of his magnificent qualities and all of his excellencies, if you will. And God calls us to a day when we will stand before him in his all, in his great glory, but ourselves glorified in his presence, completely transformed and changed. Don't lower your sights. You understand that God is calling you to something far beyond just getting through this week or this month. This is the essence of heaven. It's what the Bible calls the hope of glory. And this is what he has called us to. And he has called us to this in Christ. Do you see that? He's called us to his eternal glory in Christ. You don't get there apart from him. There's no way that you or I can earn this eternal glory by our good works. There's no way that we can be religious enough or good enough to do it. We have to admit our need, humble ourselves, confess our need of a Savior, put our trust in what Jesus Christ did, and then we receive this wonderful gift that will result one day in our standing glorified in the presence of the glory of God. And there isn't any doubt, dear believer, brother or sister, there isn't any doubt that this is your destiny. This is going to happen to you. Paul put it in these terms in Romans 8 and verse 30. He says, and those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Do you see there that it is so certain in Paul's mind that he speaks of it in the past tense? He's already done this for you. He has called you to his eternal glory. And what that tells me, friends, is this, that the God who called you to his eternal glory will do what he has to do to get you to his eternal glory. This is your destiny. Now, let's just review what we've learned to this point, 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. And it says, say it with me, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Say it again. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. Now, let's move on to the next phrase. Now, why is it important for us to know this? It's important because we need to know that everything God does in our lives is focused on this vision, this singular vision of bringing us to his eternal glory. Everything God does is about that, including suffering. Including suffering. And that's what he says in the next phrase in verse 10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while. After you have suffered. And notice that the glory to which he calls us is eternal, but the sufferings to which he calls us are for a little while. Do you see that? Peter talked about this early in 1 Peter 1 and verse 6. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to endure suffering, grief, and all kinds of trials. Now for a little while. I know that you are suffering. And when you suffer, a minute can seem like an eternity. Just think of the last time you raised up and hit your head on something. I mean, the pain was so excruciating, and you think if you had to endure another second of it, it was just going to be impossible. When we're going through suffering, a minute can seem to be a really long time. And that's true for any kind of pain. There's physical pain that won't go away. There's financial pain that won't go away. There's emotional pain that won't go away. And I know that for a while, you just think you're not going to be able to go on another day. But let me remind you that there's going to be a day when you're going to look back on that day, on that suffering. You're going to look back on it and you're going to see it for what it really is, as Paul calls it in one of his letters, these light and momentary afflictions that are nothing to be compared to the glory that we spend eternity experiencing in heaven. There's going to be a day when you look back on what you're going through right now and you're going to see that it really is just light and momentary, that it is just for a little while. And you need to be encouraged about that. So in God's way, suffering always precedes glory. Suffering always precedes glory. And this was true for our Savior Jesus. Earlier, Peter told us that the prophets in the Old Testament were looking forward, looking into the future, praying under the inspiration of the Spirit to understand what the good news would be. And it says in chapter 1 and verse 11 that these old prophets predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. You see, it was true for Jesus that suffering in the way of God, suffering always precedes glory. Always precedes glory. So Peter will conclude later. For instance, if you want to look back in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 4. Chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. You see that suffering always comes before glory. And this is what Peter is talking about when we come back to chapter 5 and verse 10, when he said, "The God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while." And so here's the point. God has called you to His eternal glory. He's going to do everything necessary to get you to that eternal glory. And no suffering, no little while suffering in the meantime is going to stop Him from what He's doing in your life. Do you see that? He's called you to this eternal glory. He's going to make sure you get there. And no amount of suffering in this life is going to keep Him from accomplishing His glorious vision for your life and for mine. And so let's review again. You're doing well. Let's say it together again. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while. All right? You're doing great. And we move on. Let's look to the next phrase there, where he goes on to say, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you. So don't despair in your sufferings. God has obligated Himself to get you to this eternal glory, but He has also obligated Himself to get you through the suffering that you're enduring even now. Now, the Bible doesn't hold out the promise that we're not going to suffer. And those who preach that the Bible does say that if you're suffering or if you're suffering need, that you're out of God's will, there must be sin in your life, that is heresy that is being spread today in many religious circles. But you need to know that the Bible does not promise that we will not suffer, but it does promise to us the assurance that as we suffer with promises of God that sustain us, strengthen us. And I remind you what I said earlier, that God is the God of all grace. And there is no suffering, no trial so deep, but that God's grace is deeper still. And Peter uses four phrases here to describe this activity of God, this grace of God in our behalf. He says here, God will himself restore you. And that word restore means to make something complete or to put it in order. You know, in biblical times, this word was used in a number of interesting ways. It was used of a fisherman mending a torn net. The word was used of a physician setting a broken bone. The word was used to describe a broken ship being pulled into harbor for repairs. And that's the picture that we have before us here. That after we have gone through these little while sufferings, God himself will restore us. He will mend the sin-torn life. He will set the sin-broken life. He will bring into a safe harbor and repair a sin-ruined life. This is the grace of God. You remember that nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And we have sitting out in the crowd today a bunch of Humpty Dumpties, people who have been broken, who have fallen, and we can't put ourselves back together again. This world cannot put us back together again, and that's why we need to know that this God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory, after we have suffered a little while, will restore us. So let's review. All right, you're doing well. Stay with me now. Let's review what we've learned to this point. Let's say it together out loud. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Now there's more to it. He goes on to say in verse 10 that he'll not only restore you, but he will also make you strong. He will enable you to literally to stand firm. Now remember, that is exactly what the whole letter is written about. 1 Peter 5 and verse 12 says, Peter says, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast. It's the same word that Peter uses in verse 10, that God will make you strong. Stand fast in it. And so, friends, God calls you to stand firm and fast in the midst of your trials and your sufferings and your adversity, to cling to the grace of God and not lose heart. He says, stand fast in it, and he enables you to do it. He promises that you're going to have the strength to do it. It's all him. So let's say it together again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. He goes on and adds another word just for emphasis. He will make you strong and firm. Do you see that there in verse 10? Firm. It's just another way of saying to strengthen, that God will strengthen you. So this is what it tells me to this point. That when I go through sufferings and trials and I am broken by them, that God fixes me, he restores me, and then he strengthens me. He makes me stronger than I was before I went through the trial, before I went through the adversity, and he will give me this strength only after I've endured the little while sufferings. Let's review it again. The key to scripture memory is to review. And so let's review it again. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and the next word is steadfast there in verse 10, steadfast. And that word means simply to put a secure foundation in place. It means to put a firm foundation in place. Reminds me of the parable that Jesus told about two guys who had the idea of building a house. One of the guys builds his house in a location that is just on sand. He doesn't put any kind of foundation. It's not built on any foundation. It's built on the sand. Of course, in the story, in the parable that Jesus told, the winds come, the rains fall, and there's this huge storm that crashes against the house and it crumbles. But to contrast that, Jesus tells about a man who built his house on a secure, solid foundation, on a rock. And the same storm comes. Winds blow, rains fall, and the storm batters this house. But it stands strong because it has a firm foundation. And Jesus goes on then to explain what this means. He said in Matthew 7:24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is the one who has this firm foundation in life. So it's connected to the promises of God's Word, to the teachings and the commands of God's Word. As we build them into our minds and into our hearts, as we're doing this morning, they serve as a foundation for us in the storms of life. And I'm going to tell you this, friends. The time to build a foundation is before the foundation, before the storm hits. The time to put the foundation in place is before the storm comes. Because so often we hit the storms of life, and because we have not put into our lives and into our hearts and our minds the promises and the truths of God's Word, we don't have the strength. We don't have the firm foundation to stand on. Now we've completed verse 10, so let's say it together again. Let's review. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." You're doing great. Now we come to the last verse, verse 11. "To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." Now this is not just a throwaway line. This is an awesome doxology. To him be the power. It's another way of Peter saying to God belongs the power forever and ever. God possesses the power forever and ever. The power that we don't have, God possesses for eternity. He has the power to pull all of this off. He's the God of all grace. He called us to his eternal glory, and he's going to make sure we get to that eternal glory. There is no amount of suffering between now and then that will keep him from fulfilling this vision for us. He has the power to restore us when we have fallen. He has the power to infuse our life with new strength. He has the power to put into place a foundation that we can stand firm on in the midst of the storms of life. To him be the power forever and ever. That'll never run out, never be exhausted. Your strength fails, my strength fails, but his power is forever and ever. And God's people said, amen. You've memorized the last word of the verses. So let's say it together. "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen and amen."